Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. This Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stands up for them, not just by arguing with umpires, but just listen to his post-game or pre-game press conferences. Always positive, always talking up a guy. Dennis Santana gave up a home run, I think against Houston, the start of this homestand. And afterwards, somebody asked him about Santana, and he just unabashedly, and rightfully so, but he talked up Santana like, oh, man, this guy has been so good for us, so great. And in so many words said, you know, he'll get right back out there and he'll deal. I mean, that means something to these players. And sure enough, Santana's gone out there and been lights out since.
Had Derek Shelton lost these guys in the very same aspects and things that you're saying Donnie Kelly does well? Had Shelton, to your understanding, started to lose guys that way?
I don't know the answer to that, Chris. I don't know. I can't ask. I can't say that he had. I can just say that the atmosphere around the ball club was not good. Now, I don't want to just point the finger at Derek Shelton. You know, and other things have happened, too, since Donnie has arrived, and it just maybe the stars have aligned. You know, Nick Gonzalez returns, Spencer Horwitz returns. That's helped. They've made a couple of moves that seem minor that have helped transaction-wise with the bullpen and so on. But it is a different atmosphere, and maybe so. I think Clint Hurdle said that everybody has a shelf life, and I guess that's probably true with managers, and maybe Derek Shelton's expiration date had come to pass and a new voice in the clubhouse was needed. There's a refreshing, almost from day one, a refreshing, feel-good atmosphere in that clubhouse, in that dugout, and you can see it the way the players just walk around, how people are engaged now. This has been going on, well, again, almost from day one. That it's just like a cloud has been lifted, and the players are feeling it.
Paul Skeens was a tough luck, no decision getter on Sunday. Pitched into the eighth inning again. He has won only one of his last eight starts, which is mind-boggling based on how he's pitched. Zangrilli said yesterday, Greg, that because these old stodgy baseball writers are so set in their ways, he does not believe, Dan that is, that a pitcher with a losing record can win the Cy Young Award. It's never happened, and he doesn't think it'll start now. Do you agree with that?
I think it could happen. I think it could start now if he ends up in every other category aspect, being the best pitcher. I think that those old stodgy writers, I think that there are fewer of them in the voting process, and I think they rely much more now on current analytics. And you know, the I guess Kodai Senga has an ERA of like 1.5.
Yep.
So I could see that, you know, he ends up winning. Now, I'm not saying they're out to change it, but I think that they will certainly look at every category. And if Senga has a winning record and a lower ERA, if this continues, I could see him winning it. But if Skeens is outright a clear favorite in terms of all the other stats, aside from the wins and losses, I think he still can win it.
I'm with you, Brownie. I think if he reverses Jacob DeGrom's 2018 record of 10-9 and goes 9-10 with a 1.70 ERA, I think he would win it.
Yeah, I agree. And he's going to end up, if I've had to put money on it, I put money on he ends up with a winning record anyway. So,
Brownie, well, let's hope so. But every time he pitches, they get him no runs. So it's hard to win games
but you know
the
what?
Offense gives
but
you zero.
But maybe that's going to change, Brownie, because his personal catcher, Henry Davis, is starting to show maybe a sign, right? Right?
Well, you're 100%.
Give me some hope, Brownie.
Well, 100%. And then the offense is, I mean, I know it struggled. It struggled also with Keller. Keller's on the mound today.
Yep.
But as we have been saying from opening day, that they don't have to score 10 like they did last night. They need to score 4, and he'll win more ball games. And I think they're starting to do that. Slowly but surely, the offense is coming around. And then the other thing about Don Kelly, he's unafraid. We see him a big stolen base the other night for O'Neill Cruz late in ball games. Rarely do teams do that. They're fearful in a close game to steal in a tight game late. They did that. They do more hitting and running, the bunt by Hayes, everything. It's a different feel, and I think the offense has improved, maybe not dramatically, but enough that schemeless wins will start to rack up.
Greg, we saw Roman Anthony get called up by the Red Sox yesterday. Do you think we see Bubba Chandler here next week?
I thought he might be in here this homestand, but in his last start, I actually watched it, and his command was not great. So I think it's a matter of whether he goes out there and shows. It's just not automatic that he comes up in whatever it would be, 6 days or a week. He's got to consistently go out there and show the good command. Because really, Andrew, there's not a great demand for him either. With Roman Anthony, and I think Alex Cora said it as much, that this is not ideal. In other words, if we had our druthers, he'd still be in the minors. But they're so desperate for offense in Boston, they called him up, I think, earlier than they had wanted. And right now, the Pirates don't have a great need from their pitching staff to call up Chandler, unless he makes it clear that there's just nothing else he can prove down at AAA.
Well, I need to fill a great, I mean, they don't have a great need, but I would suppose that he's a much better pitcher than Mike Burrows, right? I mean,
well,
that's...
I don't know that. He better be.
He's the number one pitching prospect in baseball. He better be way better than Burrows.
Well, we've heard that before. I mean, Ben Burrows was a top pitching prospect. He's one of the top pitching prospects before he got called up.
Yes, but this is the guy.
Last year.
I mean, he should be like...
Yeah, but it's not automatic. He comes in and starts winning all these ball games. That's my point. Until he proves
Greg,
down there that he is ready.
You're not supposed to be the guy that's raining on the Bubba Chandler parade. You're supposed to be the guy that's the drum leader or band leader of it.
I'm a truth teller, Andrew. You know that.
I understand
you know that,
but
I get criticized for telling the truth, but I'm sorry. I'm a truth teller.
I get that, but I am surprised to hear you say, let's pump the brakes on Bubba Chandler a little bit. That's all.
I didn't say let's pump the brakes on Bubba Chandler. I never said that.
You did not say that exactly, but I am inferring.
Not even close.
Well,
what you said was
unless he proves that there's nothing left for him to accomplish down there.
Yes.
Now, he's got a 2.49 ERA, and he's striking out 12.5 batters per nine.
Yes, Greg, I don't think there is anything left to prove there, buddy.
Andrew, have you watched his starts down there?
No, I have not.
Okay, I have.
So what does he have to work on?
Command.
So let me get this straight.
Look. Just go back. You don't even have to watch the games. Just
he's
go
walking
back and,
4 per 9. Okay,
just,
so that's it.
Just let me just make sure I hear this right. If you had a game to save the Brown Clan's lives, and you could either pick Bubba Chandler or Mike Burrows to pitch that game right now. You're telling me you'd pick Mike Burrows? Get out of here, Greg.
Come on. That is a terrible scenario.
No, it's not.
It's Pony's favorite rhetorical trap.
If you've watched every one of Bubba Chandler's starts, you should be able to answer that question.
AAA,
yes.
In the minor leagues. So right now in the big leagues, I'd have to say Burrows because I've not seen Chandler throw one pitch in the big leagues.
Okay.
It's such a different game.
Between
the major leagues and the minor leagues.
No doubt. So but before different. I saw Paul Skeens pitch a game in the major leagues, I was pretty convinced he was better than Carmen Majinski.
I will say this to maybe put a capper on this.
Yes, indeed.
I'm not falling back. I'm still sticking to my guns in terms of how he has to absolutely prove at AAA. And I may have said this a couple weeks ago, as a well-established veteran scout told me toward the end of spring training this year, he had gone around to see a bunch of games, and I will not forget this conversation. I said, how you been? Good. He said, I just saw Bubba Chandler the other day, and then I was not watching every single Pirate game. And he said he's by far, he's got the best stuff of any pitcher. And I said, yeah, of any Pirate pitcher, I know that. He goes, no. Of any pitcher that I've seen in Florida, he has the best stuff by far. So it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. That's all there is to it.
And I think he'll do great. Meanwhile, you'll be keeping your fingers crossed that we get through five innings with him.
And the Filippone family will put all their chips in on Chandler rather than Burroughs. Yep. Okay, that's fine.
See you, Greg. Good talk.
We'll see you guys.
Do it again next
Good
week.
Good talk.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brown. Put up a lot of points every game, and you know that's what we're here to do. Yeah, he just said he's all in. He's ready to get to work, and that was the main message. He's all in, ready to go from now on.
From now on, that's Zach Frazier, who I think will be the Steelers' best offensive player this year. On Aaron Rodgers, his message to the team: practice is wrapping up right now, and in the next 15 minutes, Aaron Rodgers will address reporters and talk about signing with the Steelers for the first time. Ed Bouchette joined me yesterday, and I asked Ed, if you were there, what would be the first question you asked Rodgers? And Ed pretty much said, hey, you old fart, what makes you want to keep playing football? Why are you still doing this? Why didn't you just pack it in, take your Lombardi and your four MVPs, and just call it a career? And I said back to him, I think he won't necessarily answer it this way, but he doesn't want the last image of him in a football uniform to be that disaster that it was in New York last year. I think if things had gone better there, he might be done at 41 years old.
See, I'm a bad... This is why I would be a terrible reporter, and maybe some people think I'm a terrible interviewer in this position.
Why are you starting by putting yourself down here?
Because I feel like I don't think he would answer this question because it's too inflammatory. My serious question, what I would ask is, Aaron, this team's offenses have struggled to significant degrees, specifically since Ben Roethlisberger left under Mike Tomlin's stewardship as head coach. What makes you confident that that a Mike Tomlin-led team can, you know, perform at a high level offensively, given his influence on the operation? I don't think he'd answer that. I think Coach Tomlin's the best, blah, blah, blah. I think he would toe the company line there. But I would really want to know why Aaron's, we all agree he's a little off kilter. I think he's a pretty smart guy. I do. So he's not ignorant of the fact that they have taken the handcuffs out for Russell Wilson after he started turning the ball over a little bit. He cannot possibly be ignorant of how Mike Tomlin has generally held back or wanted conservative offense. So I would want to know why. What would attract him to a place where the offense has been, by design, very conservative? Maybe that's a cleaner way to ask it.
He won't get that question today.
That's a fair question?
Sure, it's going to be a love fest. How was your first day? What made you sign here? He's not going to get any hard-hitting questions. All of these Steelers media members are trying to make a good first impression with him. No one wants to be the a-hole or the bad guy who rocks the boat today. They're going to be around this guy all summer and all season, and he hasn't done anything wrong yet. The only thing you could ask him that's fair, I think, like that, you know, he couldn't say, wow, you're really like trying to nail me to the cross here, is what made you sign now and not in time for OTAs? You know, something about like how he felt about missing, or why he felt it was okay to miss those.
Or why he didn't sign early enough. Didn't you say this yesterday so that they could maybe try to make other moves?
Right. Yeah, like saving that money, like, oh my God, they got him for only $13 million. What a bargain. Okay, so what are the Steelers going to do in terms of making this year's team better with that extra money? They can't. All the good players are signed.
But
there's nobody left out there.
But one of them can be traded for, and his name is Alan Lazard.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your guy, Scary Terry, who's back in the
news. Still wants a new deal. Yeah. The Onion has sounded off with an Aaron Rodgers story. Satirical newspaper, The Onion, Pony.
What did they go with?
Headlines are always the best there. Aaron Rodgers purchases lavish Pittsburgh area bunker. Apparently, they've got him as a doomsday prepper now. And cite the bunker's convenient location near Acrisure Stadium.
I've had a few people send me messages of the house he either bought or is renting. And I'm not going to post
success.
It, but I was surprised by the location of it.
Wilmerding?
Put it that way. Yeah.
Vandergrift?
It's just not as close to the facilities and the stadium as I thought it would be.
Would you like to tell us a direction?
South.
Near you?
Yeah, actually closer, way closer to me than I thought it would be,
Maybe he wants to be near Pittsburgh's biggest newsbreaker. Maybe he wants to strike up a friendship, perhaps based around golf.
But in all seriousness though, why would he want to go super south?
I don't know, just likes the house or likes the area.
He's going to be here for, like, I would think
The golf club he is reportedly a member of now.
And what one is that?
I feel like I'm not supposed to say that one either.
Why not?
Because I feel like that's still not public knowledge, but there's a very prominent golf club that is more south of the city.
Well, wait a minute. Why can't you break that news?
I mean, I could.
So what's keeping you from doing it?
I mean, an invite to that club, maybe.
Do you really think that it's going to hinge on that? I know someone else who played that golf course, and I'm shocked he isn't banned for life based on what happened.
That's true. I mean, I've heard it's Neville Wood for him.
Oh, okay. Because there wasn't, speculation about that already.
Well, you're saying I'm breaking it like it would be. I'm trying to couch it as that's what I've heard. Now, I don't have a picture of his locker. I don't think
he's living in Neville Wood.
No, but a house in the South Hills would be by definition closer to Neville Wood than houses in other parts of the city.
I just thought he'd go the Russell Wilson route and live at like the Fairmont or something and just have an easy commute.
Maybe he likes having a set of keys and, a garage door opener.
A garage door opener?
Just the comfort.
The feeling of being able to hit a button and watching the garage door go up and down.
He probably is a manual garage door opener guy. They run on, you can run them off of your phone now. They run on 5G. He wouldn't want that.
No, because he doesn't even do the AirPods thing.
That is the fun. That's the first thing I noticed about all those paparazzi shots is he's got the wired earbuds.
Somebody should ask him that, just at the end of it. Just say, hey,
why
Aaron.
Why does he like taking
just
calls?
Just out of curiosity, why no AirPods?
Why does he like taking calls from the coordinator in his helmet? I know that's probably like a radio signal, you'd say, but there might be 5G technology that's getting integrated into that.
So the video's out of this practice. It is super surreal to see Aaron Rodgers in a number 8 Steelers jersey.
Will he have a better number 8 Steelers quarterback career than Tommy Maddox, yes or no?
No, because Maddox won one of the most epic playoff games in Steelers history.
And probably should have won another one.
And I don't think this team is coming anywhere or anything close to that. So no, he won't. I don't really foresee a season where Rodgers goes off and everything else around him is crap.
That would be hard to imagine. Yeah, he throws 40 touchdowns and they go 8-9.
And I don't think he's going to be here beyond this year. So no, I don't think he's going to have a better Steelers career than Tommy Maddox. Do you, Donnie?
Well, let's see. Maddox, I was looking earlier, 42 touchdowns for old Tommy Gunn.
Threw a lot of picks.
40 picks. He was a gunslinger.
Those two big years, it was 36 touchdowns and 33 picks. He was Jameis before baby.
They didn't call him Tommy Gunn for nothing. I mean, it is wild to think that beyond a Joe Nedney acting job for the ages, the Steelers would have been in the AFC Championship with him at quarterback. What an era.
You haven't answered the question yet.
I mean, I don't think they would actually reach those same heights. I don't think they'd get to the divisional round.
So it's Tommy Gunn, baby.
So are you saying Tommy Maddox will have a better Steelers career than Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I mean, he also played here for 5 years.
He was the man for two, basically. And he helped get Ben Roethlisberger here, which could be Rodgers. If Rodgers has a horrible year and they get the quarterback they need next year, he'll have had a great career here.
I agree with that.
Countryman,
and I think that is what's going to happen.
Yep. Countryman on YouTube comments, which is, by the way, if you're normally an app user, we've got an app outage. Go to YouTube and watch the show that way. Listen to the show that way. You can see our pretty faces. Countryman has offered a wired earbuds take, boys. They sound better and more balanced. Wired inner ear are more expensive and harder to find because of the good quality of sound.
I think the best, I mean, the best sort of headphones are like the ones that we have, where like they
go
cover
over the,
most
yeah,
of the ear, whether
course.
They're wired or not.
I had to make the call to the Beal Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Jeff Hathorne is at Steelers headquarters. He blew off Oakmont today, which had to break his heart because of Aaron Rodgers showing up to Steelers minicamp and practicing for the first time. These mandatory practices are underway. No TJ Watt. Mike Tomlin will talk about that and Rodgers coming here in just a little bit. Rodgers is still talking, and as soon as he's done, Jeff is going to send that back to us, and you'll hear him unedited in his own words. Although I'm guessing right now the quality is not going to be great because the Steelers did not put him in a press conference room with everything mic'd up like they do Tomlin press conferences on Tuesdays. This was outside, and there had to be like 50 people there. So who knows where Jeff's mic is and all of that. I was thinking in my head we could probably pirate it from somewhere else, but I don't want to get Donnie and I don't want to get everybody in trouble. So we'll just make do with what he brings us back. Here are a couple of clips we already have. Again, I'd give the audio quality here like a 5 out of 10. So hopefully everybody can hear these things. The first one is just a simple question. Usually Will Graves asks about 90-second questions. The AP sports writer in town, and he would be the first one to tell you that. This is a short but sweet Graves question. He just asked Aaron Rodgers why he signed with the Steelers.
I don't need it. For my ego, I don't need it to keep playing. A lot of decisions that I've made over my career in life from strictly the ego, even if they turn out well, are always unfulfilling. But the decisions made from the soul are usually pretty fulfilling. So this was a decision that was best for my soul. And I felt like being here with Coach T and the guys that got here and the opportunity here was the best for me. And I'm excited to be here.
Aaron, is it...
All right.
Oh, we are off and running, man. If this is how it's going to be, I don't care if they suck on the field. That might even be better. Decisions I make for my soul? Let's get right onto the therapist's couch and get into this.
I mean, I would have loved to have asked the follow-up question. Give us something that you did that was ego-driven that everybody thinks was great but actually was unfulfilling. Is Super Bowl 45 one of those things?
Is the discount double check one of those things?
Dating Danica Patrick. Dating Shailene Woodley.
Is it Shailene?
I don't know. I said Lamar by accident. Olivia Munn. A Wiccan.
Well, isn't that still his current girlfriend?
I think it might be.
The one who
well, now there's allegations
witch.
That they're married or engaged.
I mean, his picture he had a ring on.
Yeah.
His contract signing picture.
Oh, there you go. Great detective
Could
work.
Could just be a Wiccan ring.
Did you spot that or did Sarah spot that and tell you? Because that's usually something like wives pick up on. Sarah, I mean, Amanda would have seen that very quickly and be like, oh, look, he's married. And I would have said, oh, damn, you're right. He is. I think that's a wives thing.
I think I noticed.
It was pretty obvious, but like no one said
he
anything.
Had, yeah, he had like a black or charcoal colored.
Looked like one of those silicone
wedding bands.
Like,
yeah, he's a married
type.
Man.
So we're all, I guess we're all assuming that. What
Maybe
if
he's
they have
just
like
married
a-
to the game, bro.
What if someone did ask him that? Why are you wearing this ring? I'm
married
to football. I'm here.
See this ball? It's my lover.
Yeah. I'm doing this for the soul. I do think that he's been pretty consistent about how like Pittsburgh does have a soft spot with him because of McCarthy and Clemens and who else am I missing here who's a Pittsburgh
Tom
guy?
Clemens, by
Tom
the way,
Clemens.
For people who don't know that first name.
Alex Van Pelt is another one who coached with him in Green Bay.
Are there any other Pittsburgh connections?
Jim Tomsula. He's been around these Pittsburghers, and I think he said he grew up
A Steelers fan?
Well, he loved the NFL Films 70s Steelers stuff.
Well, I feel like you and Aaron Rodgers could get along famously.
He got a big, yeah. Well, maybe we could, actually.
Easy points out on YouTube, there was one quarterback truly married to football. Brady leaves his supermodel wife for the game. Great point. He truly was married to the game.
Here's the clip of Rodgers talking about his love affair with the Steelers.
But I grew up watching an old VHS tape of Super Bowl highlights, and 60s was Packers, and 70s was the Steelers, 80s was the Niners, 90s was the Cowboys. That was kind of when it stopped. It was probably, but the 70s was the Steelers. So I grew up knowing all those names. I've got to meet some of those guys over the years, the legends that played in Pittsburgh. And it's a special, special place. You know, you think about the cornerstones of the NFL, obviously Green Bay and Chicago with the history and how far they go back, but can't write the history of the NFL without the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got a great fan base. They got a great home field advantage. They got one of my favorite coaches and people in the league, and Mike Tomlin. They play that renegade in the fourth quarter. You know what's coming. It's a great place to play.
Yeah, he knows how to play the hits, but I do think he generally feels that way. He also said, and we'll have this audio in a little bit, my big attraction to this place was Mike Tomlin. He's a big reason why I'm here. Which is a tough one for the pro Aaron Rodgers, but also anti Mike Tomlin crowd. Because it feels to me like this would be akin to a situation where a kid is trying to pick a college and he goes to the coach he wants to play for. You know, if this team, I don't know, I mean, if the Steelers were coached by Russ Grimm, or give me someone random. Maybe Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be here right now.
I think it speaks to how much he likes Tomlin. Because
he has a big
Tomlin's a defensive
mad respect
coach
for Tomlin.
And he's played for a defensive coach more recently, and it's not gone well. I'm getting accused on YouTube. Did I just shake my head to the idea that Pittsburgh has great fans? No. Shook my head kind of smirking at the Pittsburgh has a huge home field advantage. Hard to have one when you're just an average team. And didn't somebody do a study that when they played Renegade for like a couple of years stretch, they were giving up like huge chunks of yardage on the very next play? Didn't Josh Allen come in here one time and the Bills said, we called a play specifically because we thought they'd over-pursue after Renegade?
That's actually something where I'm surprised there isn't a Twitter account.
Like what happened after Renegade?
There isn't a website that just tracks what happens after Renegade. So we have like some Renegade of record, if you will.
Yes.
In 2024, Renegade was 7-1. In 2023,
well, no,
Renegade had a down year.
It should be after,
they went 3-6.
All you should have is they played Renegade before this drive. What was the outcome of the opposing
That's what
drive?
I'm saying. And a win would be they got a stop, or a loss would be the team scored, right?
Yeah, I do remember last year having a pretty decent success rate, but there have definitely been years.
There have been down years for Renegade.
Yeah.
Man, that's
how about games with double Renegades? The rare Renegade.
No, those are rare.
I feel like that should be reserved for a playoff game. Question. Who decides on the game ops staff when to play it?
Fantastic question.
That should be a Larry question. Larry would know. Like, he's up with that whole crew of people of like, hey, guys, is it time?
And Malzy, you just brought up a very good question.
I know. I've never thought of it until now. Who makes that call?
It almost always has to correlate with a TV timeout because they need, you need the red hat to come out there, put up the
get the people
X.
going. You need a set amount of time. So that narrows it down. But like,
it's a big job.
There's still a point. They've played it before the fourth quarter, have they not?
I would think, yeah, they have.
They have, yeah.
Okay, so it's not a fourth quarter big drive moment.
They try to make it fourth quarter.
I think somebody from the coaching staff makes that call.
So is that so,
right?
Tom?
No, it has to do with the game day.
It has to be game ops.
You don't think
somebody
that
in game ops has to have a gut feeling of we need this right now. It's
so you don't think the coaches would be like, this is a pretty crappy time to play Renegade. I don't want Renegade right now.
I don't think the coaching staff has anything to do with it.
Tomlin says he's got guys looking
Renegade
at replays, and so he's got a Renegade
Mike
guy
Mike
who runs
headset
down the hall.
Yeah, he's like telling the people up in the booth, like, all right, guys,
so
crank
wait
it
a minute
now.
They show Mike cutting on the sideline talking animatedly, and all he's saying is, need sticks.
We've gone way off the Rodgers beaten path here, but for just a quick second, you don't think since 2007, not one time in his career, Tomlin's called for a Renegade?
No, I actually do not.
I think
man.
He absolutely
I
has.
I'm sure there have been times.
There's
where
a time where he's made a Renegade request. I believe that.
I really think
I could see him say,
listen,
give me
Mike,
a Renegade
Tomlin,
right here.
Mike Tomlin has a lot of control in the organization. I don't think he is pinpointing when Renegade
is it like
I
totally the Buffalo disagree. Wild Wings Renegade
I totally,
button
yes.
and he just presses
I
what,
totally
he
disagree.
He just points up to Larry Richard.
No, I think on the headset
like at the end of the Sandlot.
Larry, I think on the headset, he'd say, I'm in fear.
He'd say, get me Renegade right now.
I'm sure there's times where if he's mic'd up, he's like, oh, Renegade would hit right now. And then like maybe it does, but I don't think he's Tenuta?
Renegade would hit right now.
But you're then acknowledging that he does care about Renegade if he's
thinking about it. In-game, I don't. I think the players are obviously, they acknowledge it. The players think about it and notice it, and everyone talks about it after the fact. I think Mike, if you asked him about it, would basically plead the fifth. Same guy who asked if I was laughing at the fans said this, which is another interesting quick discussion. I do think Renegade is kind of jumping the shark. But so many fans who travel in from out of town for games love to see it. Is Renegade jumping the shark?
I think Renegade's...
Has it gone the way of the Fawns?
No, I think it's had a renaissance.
A Renegade renaissance? The team hasn't won a playoff game in almost a decade.
I know, but I'm back into it.
Why?
I fell out of love with it, but
you're
now...
You're back on the Renegade wagon?
I am, yes.
What got you back?
I just think it's a nice, quaint thing that we do.
It's supposed to be the rowdiest thing that happens at games, and here you're talking about it like it's a golf clap.
I just think it's a nice tradition we have.
Somebody on the text line, maybe that's why he's so bad at challenges, too focused on Renegade.
I just got a text from somebody who would know that said, you're right on Renegade. So
Wait, what is your stance again?
Somebody said maybe he has a Renegade flag that he'll wave up to the booth.
He should.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.